Everybody, welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are so excited today. We are doing a special bonus episode of the podcast, and this is all in celebration of today is my birthday, so it's very exciting.
Happy birthday!
And what better to talk about on my birthday than one of my favorite movies of all time, probably my favorite comedy next to Monty Python, is the movie Clueless. And so it's my birthday, so I got to pick what we're going to talk about. And that's who we picked. And so I'm Rachel. I'm here. This is going to be so fun. And Amber's here.
Hi, everybody. Happy birthday, Rachel.
And our special guest, we promised that we would talk about this when we interviewed her, when I interviewed her for the Christmas season. Joao Boken is here.
Hey, Rachel. Happy birthday. Of course, I have to take this to say, Rachel, when is your birthday?
It's January 23rd.
Well, my birthday is January 22nd, so as someone a little bit older than you, let me give you some advice.
Perfect. Good. Happy birthday to you, too. This is birthday, the best month of all is January.
Yay!
I mean, it's fine.
My birthday's actually February, but I really wanted to make the joke work. So.
Oh, I see.
You know Cher talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, my sister, her birthday is on the February 6th. And so my parents would always try to do the combined birthday parties.
True.
Which is super lame. But sometimes it was fun. And my mom would do a friend's birthday party every other year. We got to have a friend's birthday party. other years, it was just family. So I don't know. We look forward to those years. We had a Laringles Wilder party once, which was one of my favorites. Yeah,
that's cool.
We all had our like prairie bonnets on, and we we made like little loaves of bread.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing! How old are you?
You're like 30.
Yeah, right. It was like I don't know, like 10, 8, okay. Something like that. Yeah. So anyway, it was an interesting, I was always so jealous of anyone who had a summer birthday because they could have pool parties, which, you know, I love to swim. So it's no fair, but anyway, so Clueless for me, it was a very influential movie in my life. It came out when I was 14, which is like just starting to get into high school. And it was just, I remember I saw it and I went to school and I was like, everything makes more sense now because of Clueless. I was like, all the clicks and there were just so many things about it that were so funny to me and that still are funny to me. And it was just the movie of my high school years. And I think it's so quotable. And do you remember when you first saw Joao?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Totally. It was my first year. I was 11. It was the first year I went to summer camp, and I had been like anticipating this movie so much that I bought the novelization of the book so I could take the book with me because I couldn't actually see the movie when it came out. Uh-huh. And I read the book that was like basically just a terrible screenplay version of the movie. I read that book like 1,000 times. And then when I finally went to see the movie, I kind of had to sneak into it because my parents did really want me to see it and they went to see something else.
Uh-huh.
And I remember just feeling so scandalized by it. Yeah, like just so enraptured and scandalized. And I thought like this was what my life was going to turn out to be. Like somehow I was going to turn into Cher. Like 11-year-old me was just like, it's somehow going to work out this way. So
that is so funny. It's a big sneak movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was like me in 90210. I had to sneak watch. I was so loud. But somehow I got away with Clueless. But what about you, Amber? Is this one you watched a lot
I don't really remember my life pre-Clueless. I don't know. It came out when I was 7, but I just always remember this movie.
Yeah.
If I had to pick someone that I was like, this is my favorite one. Obviously, like Amber gave all of us other Ambers a bad name. It really increased the popularity of people calling me Ambular. For but obviously I wanted to be Ty.
Well, I think Brittany Murphy, we'll talk about it more, but I think she does a really good job with that character of kind of making her
character you root for. And honestly, there's no bigger diss in the whole world than telling someone that they're a virgin who can't drive. Like, no one has ever been more sassy.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think that's the exact moment where I was like, well, I'm Ty. I am that sassy.
But how do you think, it's funny that you read the book for the novelization first, Joa, because yeah, obviously it's based on Emma. Yeah, so it's interesting that you would read the novelization of the book based on a novel. Yeah, but
100%.
But how do you think Amy Heckerling was able to do that, was able to sort of tap into Emma and pretty much include all of the beats of Emma are there?
Yeah.
Mr. Alton is there, you know, Harriet is basically there in the form of Ty. How do you think she was able to do that so successfully?
If you're asking me as a writer, I'd say like, it's a dream project to have a structure that's laid out for you. And then just to come in and set it in a world is so liberating, but she did it so well. I mean, to me, this reads like a project where she was collecting material forever from her own life, from things that she was hearing. And then she just kept consolidating the gold and whittling it down to make just like one clever moment after another. So I think that having this really laid out structure allowed her just to like run free with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. What do you think, Amber?
I don't know. It's just the best.
I think that like, Emma is probably Jane Austen's, like, it's interesting because it's her book, I think, that is the most sort of exposition heavy of any of her books, I would say. And I think that she was able to kind of get down to sort of the core of each character and what each character does, and then basically just put a modern spin on it. You know, whereas the other books, I think, are a little bit harder to do that, because so much is said through sort of breaking the customs of the day. So much is said that doesn't, I mean, it can be updated and people can do it well, but I think there's something about Emma that maybe lended itself very well to this.
Well, I mean, I think it's setting any sort of modern Austen adaptation in a high school setting is probably the closest to the society that people were living in during Austen times.
Yeah.
With like the, you know, hierarchy of, you know, social things and going to like events and having to have a partner to do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, that's a good point. Yeah.
Having a boyfriend is a big deal in high school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Having a boyfriend in college is like, whatever, I don't care.
No one wants those college boys.
Yeah.
But it's true, I've never thought about it, that Victorian literature like really lends itself well to high school hierarchies.
Yeah, that's a really good point. How do you think that she was able to keep Cher, I mean, Amy Heckerling, how do you think she was able to keep Cher and Dion likable? Because I've always said that I felt like kind of that Mean Girls was sort of, the Plastics and Mean Girls were kind of the darker version of Cher and Dion. But I don't know. I think in most other stories, they would be the villain kind of, but they're just, you always like them from the beginning. At least I do.
Well, they're never trying to bring down anyone else. They're never like rude to other people. All of their meddling is trying to be like helpful, except for with Amber, but she's like, they're equal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never see them as like putting down people.
Yeah. And they have good intentions. Everything Cher does from the moment we meet her is well-intentioned. It's just, she's somewhat hapless and totally clueless.
Yeah.
And also, like, you have typical story elements, like her mom, we set up that her mom passed away really early on. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, we kind of give her, you know, we give her a little bit more room.
The orphan pass.
Yeah, the orphan pass. And then it's like she takes Ty under her wing. And again, we see she cares about her father. We see that there's a lot of little moments set up.
Yeah, because she'll be sort of snobby about the Lodies who sit over on the grassy knoll. But like, I think she learns.
I mean, to be fair though, it's like, they're just people who are like high at school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you can, people who are just like on drugs at school, you can kind of be like, they're kind of doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are, and I'll try not to just make this podcast just me saying all the funny quotes that I like.
But
I think what also makes it really work is just it's just so funny from the very opening sequence with that Noxzema ad. You're laughing, and if you're laughing, it's hard to not like the characters.
And I think that's exactly why she's so successful, is because she is self-aware in an odd way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Like, even one of the very first jokes is that Deanna and I are friends because we know what it's like for people to be jealous of us.
Mm-hmm.
Get more self-aware than that. Yeah. And I think that her and Stacy, Alicia is great in the role, first of all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Alicia. And then her and Stacy have really good chemistry. And the whole cast, I think, has really good chemistry.
Did you ever read about like all the other people that were supposed to be Cher before she got the role?
I remember vaguely, but why don't you tell us?
It was like Reese Witherspoon was considered. Mm-hmm. Sarah Michelle Gellar was gonna do it. I think those are the main people.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like a Sex and the City thing where you're like, what if it hadn't been Sarah Jessica Parker, you know, like in this alternate parallel world? What would Clueless have been like with Reese Witherspoon? It would have been Legally Blonde, you know? I guess we know the answer to that.
Well, yeah, like Legally Blonde is kind of Cher goes to law school.
Totally. That's all it is. That is genius for that exact reason.
Yeah, the casting was really, they really did a good job. I mean, the only time I guess Alicia had been in that, or Alicia, I was assuming, she had been in the Aerosmith video. Yeah. But the only one of the cast that I was familiar with was Brittany Murphy, because she had been on a couple Boy Meets World episodes.
Oh, well, and Brittany Murphy was not just on Boy Meets World. She was in the Torkelsons.
Okay.
Almost Home, the best TV show in the history.
I don't know that one either.
Oh my gosh, it was a spinoff of the Torkelsons.
Whoa. He was also in Pepper Ann, which is like my favorite TV show.
Yeah, she was in everything, evidently. Okay. Yeah.
I'm looking for the Torkelsons, but
yeah, I've never heard of that one. Was that on do you remember what that was on? Torkelsons?
The Torkelsons?
Yeah.
It was Disney Channel.
That was Disney Channel.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I was that age, I was more of a what are they called? TGIF person.
Oh yeah, me too.
Disney. Anyway, yeah, I think that they just do a good job of keeping all the characters likable and keeping it really, really funny. And I really like her whole disdain for high school boys from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's
they
so accurate.
Put on their backward caps over their greasy hair and like we're expected to swoon.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I'm a traitor to my generation. Because that was so true. Like the guys in that era of like mid-90s, like you were like, pull up your pants, like what is going on?
Yeah,
it was a problem. I remember some of my brother's friends, I was just like, how did they even stay up at a certain point?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I think it still might be a problem. I look around and I'm like, am I getting older? Are their pants getting lower?
Yeah, that's right.
I think more now, the pants are like still like normal height. They're not super low rider, but everything has that like dropped crotch that makes it look like they're all wearing diapers.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they are wearing diapers.
It looks like it. So, yeah, the fashion was very influential in the movie. Was there any what Cher outfit do you like the best? or did you ever envy when watching it?
Oh my God. For me, it's the yellow plaid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the yellow plaid. I do just have to say though, at the very beginning when she's using her computer program and she like picks an outfit and it's like mismatched. I don't get that. I'm on board with that outfit.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but that's basically, that was like an app before we knew apps. I'm sure there's an app like that where you like,
there might not be, but we should have Cher's Closet as an app.
I'm sure Mariah Carey or somebody has that. Like
yeah. Yeah, it was very good. Yeah, like later on when she only takes Polaroids. She's the best mirrors. Yeah. I do like the yellow plaid is very iconic.
Yellow plaid's good. The red plaid where she's giving Mr. Hall her coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, but she has the beret. I think in that scene.
The
Leah,
lest we forget.
Yeah.
The Calvin Klein. That dress is brought back.
Yes, that's one of my favorite moments. We'll talk more about the dad ever, but I love that when she's like, I was totally gone to put something over it. And then it's like completely sheer.
Underwear.
And it's like completely sheer, like as if that's putting anything over it. It was hilarious to me.
Yeah. Oh, wait, you know what? My favorite Cher outfit is probably the one when she's taking pictures.
Which one?
She's just wearing like a button up and her sweater vest, but she looks super cute.
Yeah,
that's an underrated Cher outfit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I like it when Amber shows up in her same dress at the party.
Oh, yeah. Was that you going through my laundry?
As if I would wear something from
Judy's. Oh no, guys, we know too much.
Yeah,
it's sad that I thought I would end up being Cher, but now that I'm looking at pictures, I am dressed like Ty in the before.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think I'm closer to dressing like Murray.
Yeah,
I'm probably more like Josh.
Oh my gosh, you know what?
Kind of guy in flannels.
Dion's red dress with the white collar and the white rollover sleeves.
Yes.
That one's pretty good.
That one's great.
Yeah. Very iconic scene of her in debate with her very first debate with the Hadians.
The Hadians.
So, like right now, for example, the Hadians need to come to America. But some people are all like, we've got all the strain on our resources. Well, it's like when I had this garden party for my father's birthday, right? I put RSVP because it was a sit-down dinner, but some people came that like did not RSVP. I was like totally bugging. I'd haul to the kitchen, redistribute the food, and squish in extra place settings. But by the end of the day, it was like the more the merrier. And so if the government could just get in the kitchen, rearrange some things, we could certainly party with Hadians.
Woo, congrats.
And I think that Amber totally cops out in not responding to
She's
brilliant.
She's the best. How can I answer that? She's talking about some little, the topic is Haiti. She's talking about some little party.
Hello, it was his 50th.
I mean, let's all be real. If the government could just rearrange some stuff, we could party with the Hadians.
And let me remind you, it does not say RSVP on the statue. <That's
right>. Yeah, I think that Amber should get a very bad grade for
I love that part. One of my favorite things about that is that when they were filming, like Alicia Silverstone did not know that you're supposed to say Haitians. And so she said it when they were doing the lines and Amy Heckerling was like, nobody say anything to her about that.
Oh, it's so mean.
Yeah. And I do have to say that I think that like Josh, like what college student is he supposed to be? I don't know any college students that are like, I'm going to watch the news today. Like, what's going on?
Freshman, that's the kind.
Yeah.
He doesn't even take freshman psych.
He wants to be an environmental lawyer, you know?
Yeah. And so we get to, we also get to meet Wallace Shawn in this scene, who is just a legend. He is hilarious. You know, a lot of people know him from The Princess Bride. And, but, you know, this is another pretty iconic role for him, I think. And I think that
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
He's really funny. He's, you know, he's a really good actor, good comic timing, and he's really good. And I like anything with him, and this guy is super cute.
Oh, yeah.
And he must have enjoyed it, because how often does someone like him get to play a romantic lead? role. That must have been kind of fun. So yeah, I like well, Sean, and I like Twink Kaplan as Mrs. Mm-hmm. Geist.
Yeah,
she's really fun.
They were sweet.
Yeah. So, all right.
Let's get back to the people we care about here.
Okay. Yeah. So basically our main character, we already talked about Amber, who's kind of her rival in the crew. And then there's Elton. And do we think that Cher actually does kind of flirt with him? Or does he have any point later on? Or is it just, he's just the worst? I don't know.
He's just the worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys, I'm so down on Elton and Mr. Elton's in general right now.
Uh-huh.
Real talk, real talk. I was liking some guy, and then I was, the other day, I was like, oh my gosh, he's a Mr. Elton.
Oh. Yeah.
And it was like, abort, abort, abort.
In mission. Which way? Just like self-absorbed?
Yes, and like thinks that he's super cool.
Oh.
And is just not cool.
That's the worst. Yeah.
Yeah.
He has to go to the quad to get his cranberry CD before somebody snaps.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Which I love the cranberries. I'm like, why did they have to get the cranberries to such a douche? That's too bad.
But that's the thing. He was like a cool guy. His dad owned like StubHub, basically, you know? Like,
yeah.
Do you know who my dad is, Cher? Me and Ty, we don't make any sense.
Yeah. And yeah, because you have to date somebody in high school who's on your same social stratosphere. But yeah.
Honestly, also, let's get real. How many times have we fallen for Christian? Because I know that.
Oh my gosh, so many.
Yeah.
And Travis.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so Christian, he comes in the middle of the movie, and I don't know about you guys, but I think it was my first gay character that I ever saw in a movie. I'm pretty sure, at least, that I certainly had seen like effeminate characters, but there was an outright gay character that was like dealt, you know, that was ended up being, you know, loved and everything like that. I don't think I had. So it's kind of interesting that you know, they make some jokes, and you know, there's some funny things about him liking Billie Holiday and him being Streisand listening friend of Dorothy and all that stuff. Yeah. But I don't know. I think it's kind of an interesting little touchstone.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And then Travis is a lot of fun. Breckenmeyer, as this sort of very, you know, a very typical 90s teenager, you know, your Kurt Cobain kind of guy that we all saw in high school in the 90s. And I mean, there was a kid I knew in my church who, that was his big dream, was to take like a pilgrimage up to the Kurt Cobain, like, I don't know, there's some kind of thing up there, I don't know what, but anyway, it was like his big dream. And he's a total grunge guy. And, you know, that's kind of, but I think that Travis is sort of that guy with a heart of gold.
Yeah. I don't know if I feel Travis as grunge. He seems more like skater rocked me, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what it always hit me as, but I don't know. Do you have any thoughts about Travis?
I was like a child. I mean, like an infant, basically. So I didn't even know kids that age.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and he's very, very sweet. Like him and him tie bonding over Marvin the Martian. That's real cute. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so yeah, that's you have Murray, Dion and Murray. Mm-hmm. And Donald Faison is so great. The man who's been in like a billion movies.
Yeah.
But they had a sweet chemistry, and it's kind of funny, you know, and he's the whole dynamic of I don't wear polyester hair. I think that whole scene is really funny.
Woman.
Yeah. Sorry, what were you gonna say?
I was just talking about that conversation where he's like, she's like, don't call me woman. And he's like,
yeah. Yeah, the urban dialogue is does have condescending but not necessarily misogynistic overtone.
Yeah,
really good. Yeah, when he's shaving his hair, that seems really funny too, because that just totally seems like something my brother would have done in high school. Like he either had like this huge mop of hair, or it was like, I'm gonna shave it all off. One or the other. So that was funny, and. Yeah, I do love Travis's speech that he gives, where he says, tardiness is not something you can do on your own. Many, many people contributed to my tardiness. And he goes on and thanks the LA City bus driver, the crew at McDonald's.
Does Travis ultimately, does he like go sober at the end of the script?
Yeah, he does.
He does the 12 steps.
Okay.
Yeah, because he gives his pipe away to the disco beach.
Kitchenware?
Yeah, kitchenware. That's where I used to keep it. Yeah. And it's given a whole new clarity on my skating. Mm-hmm. I mean, credit for just still inviting. Guy doesn't give up. He invites Cher to his skating after being so
mean.
And you get a lot of early banter between Josh and Cher. And, you know, like hit her and him going driving. Mm-hmm. Hey, James Bond in America, we drive on the right side of
the road. Hello, you try driving in platforms.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. I also love when she's talking about Jim. The whole Jim scene is hilarious, but
oh yeah.
And she says, I feel like such a heifer. I had 2 bowls of Special K, 3 pieces of turkey bacon, a handful of popcorn, 5 peanut butter M&Ms, and 3
forever setting up a nationwide eating disorder.
It's like, I don't know, hilarious.
Excuse me, I'm not allowed to participate in sports where balls fly at my nose.
Because your social life. That's probably the naughtiest joke in the whole thing.
No, you know what? There was a joke I could never understand since I saw this when I was 11, and I finally read the script recently, and I was like, oh, that's what the joke means. It's when Ty says, she's like, I'm totally bugging. I could really use an herbal refreshment. And Cher's like, oh, well, we don't have any tea, but we've got Coke.
Okay. You guys got Coke here?
This is America. I never understood that joke, and I don't know why.
So now
I get it.
Yeah, Josh has been
cocaine is what says.
Yes, yeah. That's it.
So Josh has been bugging Cher to be a better person, to not be so superficial. And so in walks Ty. And so Cher decides that she's going to use her popularity for a good cause. And I like when she first says that. And Tion's like, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
What do you think of Ty? And what do you think of her makeover? Do you like Cher's makeover?
Yeah, I mean, them changing her hair dye is a good idea.
Yeah, I'm not that big a fan of the midriff, but I guess that was the 90s.
Oh yeah, it was the 90s.
If you didn't have a midriff in the 90s, were you even alive?
Yeah. Or in 2019 again.
Yeah. Is it back?
It came back.
It came back. You like can't buy a shirt that like tucks into your pants anymore. It's really hard.
Yeah. And I think that yeah, there's a lot of funny, they do a lot with sort of Brittany Murphy, with Ty's sort of naivety, but yet she, in a way, she's sort of, I guess, more street savvy than Deanna and Cher. Obviously, she's not a virgin. She's had more experience in certain things than them. But yeah, like Cher has to explain to her what sporadically means, and that's kind of a funny scene.
Yeah.
You know, hope not sporadically.
Guys, I've never had straight friends before.
That's right. Yeah, and she loves like the Mentos ad and all that stuff. And how do we feel about Josh and Cher as their sort of dynamic? Because they do kind of start out of this sort of sibling dynamic, they're not.
That's like
really.
Something I thought about when I'm like writing Hallmark. I'm like, you can never have an ex step sibling romance. It does not fly.
Rachel believes
I don't care
that step siblings should just get married. That's
no,
like her plan.
I think it's totally fine. I know many a people who have ex step siblings. I don't want to finish that sentence actually, but I definitely think if I came into Hallmark and I was like, an ex step sister and brother fall in love, they would just laugh me out of the room.
Yeah, they probably would. But here's the thing, so like if you just happen to meet somebody, and your mom or dad just happens to meet their mom or dad, what are you supposed to do? Be like, sorry, we're not going to get married because you have no relation to the, you have no relationship. So like, people meet in all kinds of weird ways. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. And people they, for me at least, I've had no problem with Josh and Cher because just how you meet sometimes weird ways.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I mean, I would have liked a little bit more information. How long do they live together? What was the situation like? Like how much of a brother and sister were they?
He was hardly even married to his mother and it was 5 years ago.
What exactly does that mean though?
I don't know, but
I think
that's the quote.
So 5 years ago, so she's 16, so it was when she was like little
11.
Yeah
So it was probably like a year and or you know just a couple of years or something like that, and then they got divorced. But
and you anyway. Divorce wives, not children.
Not children.
That's right. And Paul Rudd is the man who never ages. Like he looks exactly the same. Like it's,
oh my
so
god, it's amazing crazy.
Paul Rudd and Stacey Dash.
Yeah, oh yeah,
witchcraft.
It's amazing.
I read that Paul Rudd applied for. Did you guys read this little fact about Clueless that Paul Rudd auditioned for every male role, including Murray?
That's hilarious.
I would have loved actually to see Paul Rudd as Murray.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Oh my god.
A la Seth Green's character in Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh yeah. Comparison. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, but he's just the best. He's so charming, and I don't know. I feel like he could be a real sort of stick in the mud. And he is kind of, but I don't know. I still like him from the minute. He's just so likable. I don't know if he's ever played like a serial killer or anything like that, but I'd have a hard time believing it.
Paul Rudd would be the perfect serial killer because you just be like, you're so charming.
Yeah, he's just so so innately likable. And,
so funny.
Yeah, and so you know, I knew that I was gonna like Ant-Man as soon as I knew that Paul Rudd was gonna be. I was like, oh, I'm gonna like it. Nice shirt. I did like it. So I think they have pretty good chemistry. Alicia and Paul.
Yeah.
And their roles they do. And I, you know, there's some nice scenes like when she, when there's the whole party scene and she gets held up by gunpoint. Holy cow. And then he comes and picks her up and there's the whole Hamlet scene, which is really funny.
Well, I remember Mel Gibson accurately, and Polonius didn't say that.
Yeah, So that's
you know what I mean?
Yeah, because she's not stupid. It's kind of like Elle Woods that way. She's not dumb.
No, she's not dumb. She just doesn't care about things.
Yeah. She's just the way she is.
And then she I care about the news.
Yes. I'm a little confused. I thought they declared. Is that what you just said?
Yeah. So good. So yeah, there's the whole party. I love her, and her dad are just my favorite. I think those are some of my favorite scenes. She comes in. Share what you do today. Well, I broke in my purple clocks. That's at the dinner, which is like, we're going to have a quiet dinner. And I think having a cell phone at that time was pretty special. I remember when I was 17, I went to Italy. And I remember just thinking it was the funniest thing that there were all these people in Italy that were riding bikes and talking on a cell phone. To me, that was hilarious, because I just thought, why would you be in such a hurry that you needed to talk on the cell phone, but you're riding a bike, which is so slow? Now you wouldn't even give it a second thought. But at the time, that was just a hoot. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure in 1995, that was even more exclusive, I guess, is that they all had phones and
stuff. Oh, yeah.
I love her dad. I love her dad and Christian. I have a 45 and a shovel. Anything happens to my daughter, you won't be missed.
Yeah. Hey, man, you drink? No, I'm good. You think I'm offering you?
Yeah. So good. And I love when she... What do you guys think about her changing all of her grades? Do you think that that's possible?
Oh, that's amazing. The best part.
I mean, I don't know that it's possible. I mean, yeah, you can definitely change your grades.
Uh-huh.
They're arbitrary and ridiculous and pointless.
It's just so good. Cher, I couldn't be happy. Like, that's kind of like my motto in life. Like, yeah. I could not be happier if it was based on real grades.
Yeah. Which, yeah, he was like a homeschooler, and he didn't even know it. He's a very free schooler, because as long as you're learning what needs to get learned, a lot of that stuff is silly. But Dan Hedaya as her dad is just the best.
Yeah.
So funny and sweet too. They have a lot of sweet moments, like, you know, when he says that he hasn't seen such good doing since her mother. It's really sweet. Mm-hmm. And the whole scene with Elton, where he says that they belong together. And then, even if she was being a jerk, pretty rude of him to drop her off in the middle of nowhere. Like, what?
I mean, Elton's legitimately the worst. We all know this.
Yeah. Yes. That clinched it. Then you have Christian, and he saves Ty from the mean boys at the mall who are gonna dump her. Mm-hmm. Across the, yeah. So but I love that dad, he says, "What's with you, kid? You think the death of Sammy Davis left a note in the Rat Pack for you?" That is really, really fun.
So good.
Yeah, you get to see some 90s stuff, like them watching Beavis and Butthead, watching Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
That's sort of fun. And then also the music is kind of fun. Very, very iconic in that time period.
Excellent soundtrack.
Yeah. You think it holds up still? You enjoy it?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, you've got like Kids in America, you know, all the young dudes, fake plastic trees.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like,
come on.
Yeah, and they even have Mighty Mighty Bosstones that are playing at the party.
Uh-huh.
Rolling
with the homies.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of fun. And to Christian and Cher's big date, really, mm-hmm. She thinks it's a date. He has no mm-hmm. idea. And her main plan for a great date is taking Polaroids, getting your makeup very white, and having a lighting concept and something baking.
Yeah.
What do you think of this plan, Shaw?
On it. That's exactly what I do.
Yeah.
100%.
Is that how you were able to?
That is how I was able to snag every love interest thus far. Okay. And maybe why I'm still single.
Yeah, I love how she doesn't even like slice the cookies. She just plops totally out there.
It's
like
the best. It's the best. I mean, it's just so good.
Yeah. Amber, have you ever lost a date because of bad lighting?
Girl, you know I haven't. I never stumble into bad lighting. One of my favorite things, though, about this is because they watch Some Like It Hot and Sporadicus.
Yes,
it's
so good. So yes. Good.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. And yeah, so it's really fun.
I am Sporadicus.
Right. And then the next scene we get is when they're talking about it in the Jeep. And that's when Murray says he's a Streisand thinking Oscar yeah. Wilde reading, friend of Dorothy. And so then Dion accidentally gets on the freeway. And this is like, this scene will always make me laugh. And I actually even had this same experience happen to me. When I had my permit, my dad decided it would be a good idea for us to get on the Belt Loop, which is like 7 lanes wide. It's huge in DC. And I was just like panicking. And I'm like, freaking out. My dad's like, hold on to the steering wheel. And I was just very upset. And so now whenever I see it, I laugh even harder. But I think that scene is just gold. You got the angry old lady, you got the big truck, because when you're a teenager, at least for me, that was terrifying to go on the freeway.
Oh yeah.
And I love Donald Faison in that scene. He's just like, ah, I'm gonna die.
So funny. Donald Faison is so funny.
Yeah.
He's the best. And so I don't know, that's one of my favorite comedic scenes in any movie ever. I absolutely love it.
And then her virginity became, what's the line after that?
Technical to not exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you guys learn how to drive easy or was it a struggle?
Oh my gosh.
It was so easy for me.
Was it?
Yeah.
It was really hard for me because I have a lazy eye. So like it's hard for me sometimes to really focus the way on things. And like, it was a miracle I passed the driver's test because I had to parallel park in Maryland.
Oh yeah.
That was extremely difficult for me.
I'll tell you a fun fact about me. Never passed the driver's test. Didn't get my license until I was like 20, I think. First time I got into the car, ran a red light. The guy was like, the test is over. Get out of the car. That was it. Second time I took the test, I got in the car. I went through the driver's test. At the end, the guy grades my test, and I have my dad, my brother, and my mom there with me. And I'm like, look, I passed. And then my brother looks at me, he's like, you didn't pass. The guy just did the math wrong. And then we looked at it, and we were like, you're right. I didn't pass, but I still got my license.
No way. That's so funny.
Oh, I'm still waiting to pass that driver's test.
I got 100 on the written portion.
Oh my gosh, what?
And a 98 on the driving.
Who are you, Amber?
I'm just like a really good driver.
Did you guys have to do Polo Park?
Yeah.
Oh man, wow, you're good. Yeah, I became good at Polo Parking. Well, good quotation marks. At Polo Parking later, once I had an apartment, you had to Polo Park. But it was tough for me to learn. And I made the mistake of signing up for, because in Maryland they didn't have driver's ed as part of school like they do here in Utah, and so I had to go to a private one, and I made the mistake of signing up for one of my lessons to be on stick shift manual whatever. Mm-hmm. It was rough.
Oh yeah.
It was rough, but rough. Anyway, it's very memorable. And I think I ended up having to take the written part twice, and I definitely had to do the driving part twice. And, but I actually had a deadline because they had changed the rules in California that you had to have an adult present with you for like your first year or two or whatever of driving, or if somebody a licensed driver. They had some change to the rule. And so I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. Because I was going to be going to community college. My family moved out of California. And so I had like 2 weeks that I had to get my license in Maryland before we moved. And anyway, and so I failed it once and then went back second time and I passed and I was just dying like of excitement. I called my dad and I'm like, yeah, I passed the test. It's such a miracle. It was rough. I've never been a great driver. If I could live in a place where I didn't have to drive, I would be very happy because I don't like driving. So anyway, and I especially don't like driving in the snow here in Utah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So then Cher goes when she fails her driver's test, that guy is pretty hilarious. Girly, I might as well be the god of the DMV. That one's good. But anyway, yeah, and that's when we get Ty saying you're a virgin, you can't drive. And then we get the whole sequence with her rage shopping.
Oh, yeah.
Everything I think and everything I do is wrong. And all boiled down to one inevitable conclusion. I'm totally clueless. And we get all by myself there too. That whole number with the, and then the water fountain goes and she realizes that she says, so he's kind of a Baldwin.
Yeah.
So, and then she gets a cute advice from her dad, and she says, Daddy, did you ever have a problem you couldn't argue your way you're out of? And he says, tell me the problem and we'll figure out the argument. And then she explains it. She's like, I'm not sure I want you with a stupid fellow.
Yeah. He's a do-gooder type.
Yeah. He has a heart of gold. Her dad, Mel. And so that's when Cher decides to do a makeover of my soul. And she talks to Miss Geis and starts the Pismo Beach disaster relief. And those people at the Pismo Beach were getting some really good stuff.
Yeah, the skis. Yeah. They lost everything. That includes sporting equipment.
Right. And she divides I think she has like caviar and stuff she's taking. And did you like that red caviar, Dad?
Yeah.
So she's dividing into appetizers and entrees. And and Mel says, Josh, is this your influence? And then we get our scene with Cher and Ty make up, and you have the whole skateboarder thing, which is very very 90s, that whole skateboarder thing. You have Cher helping with the lawyers, and the guy is a total jerk. And he said, you do whatever you want with your butts. I'm calling it sick.
Yeah.
And then we get our cute little scene on the stairs. And
that's one thing that always bothered me about the movie, that it did not have a bigger, I know we end on the wedding, but like structurally we have a double ending, and in Hallmark land they would be like, never, you're never allowed to have the double ending. And I felt that even as a child, I was like, I know the joke is like, hello, we're not getting married, this isn't Alabama or wherever it is, but
California,
they should have had their big ending against the backdrop of the wedding.
Oh, interesting. So have the little conversation on the stairs kind of somehow incorporated into the wedding.
Yeah. Or have like, I don't know, a bigger rising climax there. It always bothers me when I watch it. I always feel like there's a little letdown there.
Interesting. What do you think, Amber?
Yeah, I think it's not that great of a of a meet love moment of the final thing. I don't know. It is a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah, interesting. I never thought about it before. Yeah, because she says, He says, you know, he's the only one, Mel's the only one that cares about me. And she says, that's not true. And are you saying you care about me? And then they have their kiss and it's really cute. But yeah, I guess I can see your point. It's kind of sort of mini kind of an epilogue a little bit. Kind of.
Yeah. And also in a way we've dropped that line by now. I mean, I'm getting too nitty gritty here and there's no reason to do this, but like we actually haven't tracked the Geist Hall line for a while. And so it seems
you're right,
moment that revolved around Cher. Like how did she really change to create something at the end that shows her arc? And I guess in a way it does, they get married, but we haven't, she kind of set it in motion and then she stepped away. So anyways, just
like maybe they could have done it the classic high school movie to end at prom. Would that have been more effective?
No.
Yeah, because almost all these movies end with the big prom.
Yeah, that I guess the brother sister prom might be pushing a little bit. Again, Rachel's like, no, it's fine.
It's fine. she even says at a certain point in the movie, she's like, Josh, I am not you. You are not my brother. Yeah. They make that very clear.
Yeah. It's interesting because he could have just, in a way, been a neighbor.
Yeah.
You know, like a neighbor she grew up with that was kind of like a brother.
Yeah.
Who like starts working for her father, comes over because his family's away or something. Anyways, we can't go back in time and definitely it's perfect. So why would we criticize? But
yeah, it never bothered me. I don't know. I guess I'm just weird. I'm very open-minded when it comes to relationships, evidently.
No, that's great. That's great. You want to see the next one where Josh and Cher's kids fall in love with each other.
No, because then they'd be related.
Exactly. There's a joke.
Yeah. Anyways. But yeah, that is, then the end we see that, yeah, California, not Kentucky.
Kentucky. Yeah.
Which, just for the record, California actually has no minimum age for marriage. Like, you could get married in California no matter how old you are, as long as you're adult. Yeah, as long as your parents and the court approve it. And in Kentucky, you have to be 17.
Oh, that's so funny. Is
that
real?
That's so funny. Yeah.
So, like, in your face, heckerling.
Yeah, heckerling. You know nothing about nothing.
That's like, really funny. She could actually get legally married. Maybe she's mean it's California, not Kentucky, because they're related.
Yes.
Not exactly. Really.
Yes.
Yeah, that's funny.
Wait, but then they can't mean that because then she's saying they have no future.
I know.
Okay, I don't even
Josh isn't even in all of the Clueless TV series, okay? They don't end up together.
Oh, yeah. There was
Did they explain TV that in the TV series at all? Like, where Josh goes, or...
I don't remember.
I think it goes on to Judd Apatow movies, right?
Not later on.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Rudd, obviously, he's gone on to be Ant-Man and be in a ton of Judd Apatow movies, like This is 40 and movies like that.
Well, they recast some people for the TV series.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But, I mean, the TV series is canon.
Is it?
Is it? Should we watch it? Should we do another podcast after we watch the TV show?
Well, if you can find the full series, I would.
How long did it air? Do you remember?
It was for 3 seasons.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, and there's also a new Broadway musical that is just in off-Broadway tests right now. So I wasn't able to find any, there's no cast recordings or anything like that, but it's hopefully will be a big hit. It's got Dove Cameron from Disney Channel fame as Cher. And I actually think she'll be fine. It just depends on if the songs are good.
Stop being mean about Dove Cameron, Joie.
I'm not. I just thought it was like going to be Katy Perry or something.
Oh, yeah. She's probably too old. Isn't Katy Perry?
I don't know.
Play Cher?
Dove Cameron's 23.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it'll just, they're obviously trying to monopolize off of the recent success of the Mean Girls. Broadway musical.
Yeah.
And of course, a while back there was the Legally Blonde musical. So we'll see if it's any good. Who knows? I don't know, but
anyway, I'm down to watch it. Yeah.
And there is talk of them doing a remake. feel about this, Rob, about the Clueless remake?
I feel terrible about it. Thank you for asking, Rachel. I feel like, do not remake something that's perfect. Like, I just watched Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with my son, and I had to explain to him, like, this is the new one. There is an old one. Which one do you want to watch? I showed him both trailers. Of course he picked the new one. So then we watched a new one, and the whole way through, I'm like, this is a wonderful movie. It's great. I love everything about it. Also, they could have just made a separate movie.
Yeah.
It could have been just a sequel. Don't remake it.
Well, and especially because Clueless is such a creature of its time. You know, it's so tied back into, I mean, I'd almost rather them just pick another Austen novel and make it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but that's what
they're going to do. They're going to set the same exact story just in a different time. It'll be set in like the 2010s, which are the new 90s.
Yeah, which is a terrible idea. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like, I don't know. I guess with good writing, anything can be good. And this is the team behind Girls Trip, but they also did like Night School and some other stuff that I'm not a fan of.
I got down with Girls Trip.
And so we'll see, but I'm skeptical.
I mean, let's be honest here though, Rachel. We will watch the hell out of that. Yeah,
we will. We'll come watch back.
It over and over, and then we will make a podcast about it. So for all of our griping.
I promise. We'll do that. We'll watch the musical.
Watching the novelization of this remake of the movie based on the novel by Jane Austen.
Yeah. I mean, we'd have like a whole sort of Emma episode where we cover Emma and then we cover Clue. The movie to me is just really special. I think what makes it work is that it's just so funny, first of all, and it has a classic formula executed well. And, you know, it's based on Emma. You can't get more classic than that. And it was just cast so well. It's got heart with all the humor. And that's why I just think it works. And maybe, who knows, maybe it would work as a remake, but because it is just so, it's kind of timeless, which is interesting because it has so many, it is also a creature of its time. It's like it does both.
Yeah, totally.
Which is really amazing. Interesting.
It's a masterpiece.
It is a masterpiece. It really is. It's one of my favorites. And so thanks so much for coming out and talking with us about this. Amber, we lost her.
Yeah, I hope she's okay.
Yeah, she's fine. She got cut off for some reason. Her room, I think, is in sort of the basement. And sometimes the internet can be a little not great. So anyway, that's what happened to her.
Okay.
But... I did ask on Twitter for our listeners to share their favorite quotes of Clueless, and we got a few responses. We have from Ashley. We have, I can't choose a favorite quote. I love any scene with Paul Rudd as Josh, though. So, yeah, Paul Rudd is the best. Greg McBride says, I like totally paused.
Yes.
That's really good. And then Georgia has the freeway scene, which is my favorite. And then single girl table for one has the there goes your social life scene at the tennis. Classic. Becky from Serious Chick, she says you're a virgin who can't drive is her favorite. That Beth says, I don't know if I can choose, it's so good. One thing I remember is just wishing I could have her closet and the program that helped her out pick out outfits together. And Tony Shalow Wright has the scene where she falls off the bed. Trying to get. I mean, Christian, he's pretty clueless.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of clueless, he's pretty clueless with what Cher's trying to do there. But I mean, she's in a red skimpy dress. I don't know what else she could be doing here. But anyway, so that's what our listeners had to say about Clueless.
Great.
And so let us know what you think about Clueless. Is it a favorite of yours? What parts do you think are funny? That would be great. And so thanks so much, Joa, for coming on the podcast and talking about this. This was very fun for me.
And happy birthday, Rachel.
Thank you. Big 3-8. Oh, dear.
3-8. I was going to say 23 again.
Yeah, all right. So there we go. That's so much fun. So thanks again. And you can, where can people follow you, Joa, online?
I am not the best. You can friend me on Facebook because I live in the olden days, I guess. Instagram is where I put like all my smarmy comments about my life and parenting. That's Schwabotkin. Twitter, I'm also Schwabotkin, but don't really post much. And just ended up liking everything because I don't know how Twitter works. So yeah, that's about it.
So do you have anything coming up you want to talk about or?
Yeah. I have a March movie that's coming up that has Nick Bateman and Ariel Kebble in it.
Really?
Oh yeah. It's super exciting. I'm actually getting to go on set for that one. First movie I'll ever be on set for. The script, I really love how it turned out. So, and we have a great director, great team. Super excited about that. I think audiences are really going to enjoy this one. And then fingers crossed, I have my Hawaii one going into production. And we are trying to get some very exciting cast on that one too. We're reaching
out.
Well,
if they need any support for that one, I'm available.
Everybody, don't worry. The only reason this is getting made is because everybody wants to go to Hawaii. And also, I still have to write the script. So when we hang up this call, I'm going to go do that.
That's so exciting about Erica Hubble. She hasn't done a Hallmark movie in a while. So yay. Yeah. That's really cool.
I'm pretty sure it's her. So.
Well, I'm okay.
No, it is, I think. And I've just been on Nick Bateman's, I think that's his name, Instagram page every single day, just being like, why can't he be more shirtless in our Vancouver movie shot in the middle of winter? Why is this not on brand, Hallmark? Even in the Hawaii one, I was like, can he be shirtless? Can we have a really super hot actor?
See, you're fighting the good fight. That's what
I'm
like to hear.
I'm trying hard, guys. I'm all for equal objectification across the board. So
very good. I love it. Right. Well, that's awesome. And yeah, so you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all over social media, and you can follow Amber at Amber Brainwaves, and make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod, all over social media. And if you can leave your reviews on iTunes, we really appreciate it. And if you give us a thumbs up for watching on YouTube, that's great too. So thanks so much. And we'll definitely have to connect again soon over something else that's fun.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye, guys.